Hello and welcome to the third and final installment of the White Lake Beacons podcast series dealing with bond requests from White Lake area schools. Today we're joined by Stephen Cousins, superintendent of Reese Buffer Schools. Steve, thanks for having us here this morning. Let's get started. Why don't you describe a little bit the cost of the bond proposal, what's involved financially?
Well, the total expected cost will be $23.6 million. $4.3 million roughly is for technology. There's three pieces to that. That's what people would think of as the instructional technology that a teacher would use in the classroom. Another part of it is our network backbone, what we run all of that stuff over. And the third piece is a telephone system. About $10 million of the project is a redo of our middle school. The interior of our middle school is not set up for a large instructional space. It doesn't have gathering spaces for kids. We've got some security issues in terms of where the office sits and where the front doors are. We're looking at taking out some walls that are some courtyards that we have in the middle of the building that are really inefficient in terms of space, in terms of heating and all that stuff, and replacing it with a large space. That's a big part of the project. There's a huge part of the project at the middle school as part of that $10 million is an energy management system. We haven't touched it in over 30 years. It actually has 28 different furnaces and three different boilers, and it's been that way because every time there's been an addition put onto the building, it's had another heating system. So that's a big part of the project. Along another big part in that building is technology, and then roofs, parking lots, doors, things that just deteriorate over time, and you have to do a big buy to get them done. That's a very, very big part of this project. About 1.5 to 1.7 million for two turf fields that will return some cost to our district and open up the use of them to the community.
When does the current bond expire?
Current bond expires in the year 2026-27. It starts to decrease in 2020-2021, but it expires in 2026-2027. This proposal would extend that out and have it expire in 2028-2029. So it's a two-year extension on the expiration. It's about a seven-year extension on the rate.
So it would be a seven-year, the extra cost then would be a seven-year extension of the current rate.
Yeah, the current rate would start to decline in the year 2021-2022 with an expiration, as I said, in 2026-2027. This proposal would extend that 8.37 out to 2027-2028, and then it would end the next year.
You went into it a little bit in your first answer. Describe a little bit more the various projects, maybe listing them in terms of importance, what really needs to be done. I understand, you know, all the requests aren't there because, you know, these are some, you know, fun projects. These are things that you feel like they need to be done. Why don't you kind of list some of the most important aspects of the request?
Okay. You know, I think it can be broken down into five or six big areas.
Okay.
Without going into, you know, building specific.
Sure.
Safety and security is a big focus of it, and that has to do with primarily moving some offices that are in a few of our buildings to where the front entrance is, and then redoing the front entrance so that we almost force a flow through the office so that people can't just come into the building without at least there being a direct line of sight from the office, and preferably we get almost a flow of traffic to the office. We have two other buildings where the offices are near the front, but because of the way they're configured, there's no direct line of sight, so we want to change that. So a lot of this that's being done at the building level is on safety and security. The second part of the safety piece is we've got some issues with parking lots. Not only are the parking lots, they need to be repaved, but since we're going to have to repave them, we're looking at a reconfiguration. We've got some situations where we've got two schools together and the flow of traffic comes into one spot for both schools. Parents are parking on the street. Kids are running across the parking lot to get to the car. We feel like we've got some unsafe situations, so we want to move the entrances. We actually want to create a whole new entrance to Reese Puffer Elementary to separate the traffic between Reese Puffer Intermediate and Reese Puffer Elementary. So safety is another big part. We've got three or four buildings where we've got parking lot issues like that. Security cameras is a part of that. We want to beef up the security camera system at the high school and the middle school. The high school is the most important place to do that. We've got blind spots in the building where we don't have cameras, and we want to beef those up. A second big part of this would be technology. Our technology is about 7 years old. Some of it will be 8 years old by the time we go out to bid. And again, I described that a little bit early on. It's really three pieces. It's instructional technology in the classroom. It is the backbone network that we run over. And it's our telephone system. Our telephone system has been great up to now, but it's going to be about 8 years old when we bid out. We're getting to the point now where they aren't going to make replacement parts for it anymore. And so it's been a good system, but it's time to switch it out. We also can't run voice over internet protocol, and we want to be able to do that. The middle school is another big part of that. I've described that a little bit already, but it's switching out the energy management system in the middle school. That's about $3.5 million. Reconfiguring the space in the middle and moving the offices so that they're close to the front of the building, and redoing our counseling space so that kids have better access to it. We have to recable that building. It's a hodgepodge of technology cabling. We've got to redo that. And then redoing the instructional technology in there. Putting that all together, that's about $10 million worth of work in the building. That building has not been touched in instructional space since 1992. And like I said, the energy management system, the newest parts of it are about 30 years old. Most of it's older than that. It's a pretty inefficient heating system. Energy management is a big one across the board in the district. We're looking at Twin Lake, which hasn't had any work done in its system for about 30 years, to switch their system out. We want to switch the high school from steam heat to hot water. We believe that the payback on that to our budget will be immediate in terms of the energy savings we'll have. We're redoing some of the windows in the buildings where they have single pane, the old single pane. Well, you look over here at my window, and it's very difficult to heat this building because we have these old single pane windows. Where we've put those in the other buildings where they have, RPI and RPL are an example. When we redid Reese Puffer Intermediate in our last bond 7 years ago, we replaced the windows, most of the windows, not all, but most of them, and put a new energy management system in. We put the same energy management system in Reese Puffer Elementary. We've had cost avoidance on our energy in both of those buildings because of the new energy management systems. But we've saved 300 times more energy in Reese Puffer Intermediate than we have in Reese Puffer L, and the difference is that we put new windows in Reese Puffer Intermediate. So we've got energy management projects throughout the district. Furniture, we've got carpeting that's just wore out, and it's something that when it goes, you know, our carpet lasts about 20 years, but once it's gone, you got to replace it. We've got some tile. We have some tile that's 40 years old, and it's cracking and pulling up, and there's such large sections up that are getting bad now that we need to replace whole large sections rather than just go patch five tiles. Furniture. We have some furniture that our maintenance guys are saying they can't replace anymore or fix anymore. They've welded it for the last time. And again, those come in big batches. It's not something that's within the budget to go out and buy big batches of furniture. We have some classroom upgrades that we have to do. Some of that's power. Some of the classrooms, we did quite a bit last time on our bond, but we couldn't hit everything with the amount of money that was in the 2002 bond. We have some power issues and some lighting issues that we need to take care of in several buildings. And then the last big piece of it would be the athletic turf. We currently use our our soccer and football fields about 10 to 13 days per season. And the reason that we only use them that much is because we only use them for competition. If we have the kids practice on them, they tear them up, and then we risk not being able to use them for competition. We don't want kids coming out onto a field and they're going full blast, and they make a turn and end up wiping out and getting hurt because the field's tore up. The turf fields would allow us to open up to our phys ed classes, to the kids to practice on. We could have our youth groups come in and use them when we didn't have our high school kids on them. It just is a no-brainer in terms of use. You get very little use out of a grass field. We could open these up big time. The other thing is that it saves a significant amount of money in our budget. We've calculated that depending on the year and how much rain we get, it's about $50,000 to $60,000 to maintain what we have to do to keep those two competition fields available to use. That includes the cost of the practice fields that we have to use on top of it. So we'd return almost immediately to our budget about $50,000 to $60,000 a year that can be used for instruction. So there's a cost savings. You know, it's a greener technology too. We're not putting fertilizer down. We're not using water. And so there's a lot of good reasons. The one that seems to make the most get the most legs with people is that if we do this project without the athletic fields, it's 6.5 years on the extension. If we include the athletic fields, it's 7 years. It's 6 months more to open these fields up to everybody in the community and to reduce the cost. And that just seems to be a no-brainer.
Describe a little bit more about some of the energy and cost savings that you'll incur if this bond proposal does pass.
Well, you know, the two big areas that we know right away, because we have an energy management program in this district where we've cost avoided $664,000 over the 4 years, three and a half years now we've been engaged in it. And we track it. We have an energy manager who actually tracks our usage by kilowatt. We've made tremendous strides in saving on our energy. In the places where we've been able to switch out to more energy efficient windows, there's an immediate savings on energy use, which translates into, I mean, it makes us a better citizen because we're using yet less energy, but there's a practical side in that it reduces our budget. So where we replace windows and where we've switched to more energy efficient HVAC, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. And the three places where we have that lag behind the rest of the district pretty dramatically are the middle school, Twin Lake Elementary, and to a lesser extent, but they do, is the high school. Twin Lake and the middle school have not had their energy systems really upgraded in over 30 years. I've been into the boiler rooms, and we can't find anything in there that has a tag on it that a major piece of equipment that's really been installed within the last about 30 years. So there's again, you put a more energy efficient system in, you get better heating, we get a better environment for kids in the classroom, which is going to increase learning, and at the same time, we decrease our carbon footprint. We're greener, and we immediately put some money back into the budget that can be used for instruction. So,
right. One of the biggest questions we've had regarding all three bond requests in the White Lake area is about maintenance. What kind of systems do you have here in the district that ensures that the things that you have spent money on continue to last, well, for 30 years in the case of some of the schools, but some of the newer equipment?
Well, we have a regular maintenance schedule that we follow, mm-hmm. and we do that two different ways. One is strategic. We develop a plan for the things that we know are going to have to be replaced in a 3 to 5 year cycle, and we have what's called a building in sight fund that we try to put money into each year to take care of those 3 to 5 year issues that are going to come up that are within an operating budget's capability. There are some things that aren't. It's rare that you can replace a roof, for example, with your operating budget. It's just too expensive. You usually can't rip a whole parking lot up and replace it with your operating budget. But we do that on a 3 to 5 year cycle. In the short term, we have a repair budget that we fund each year so that when things come up during the year that we have to take care of, we've got a repair budget to take care of those things. But I think the thing that most people are referring to when they ask about that is, what's your painting cycle? What's your repair cycle on machinery and your buildings? We have a regular 3 to 5 year cycle that we look at, but we also set aside money each year because we know you don't predict it perfectly, and there's going to be some things that have to be taken care of. Our maintenance guys in this district do a wonderful job of taking care of Reese Puffer stuff. We have our facilities issues are much smaller than they would be if we didn't have such a dedicated maintenance staff. These guys are always thinking of ways not only to make things better here, but to do it in a way that's more cost effective. It's a regularly planned cycle of improvement with that idea that you're going to have things pop up and you got to be ready for those too.
Right. In terms of the investment in new technology, how long will those be relevant, or will you come back in a few years and say we need?
Things changed in the late 80s when technology became a tool that had to be used in schools rather than a tool that might be used in schools. And if you look at the history of bond requests by districts across the state of Michigan, you'll see that from the late 50s, early 60s, all the way up until the early 80s, mid 80s, there were very few requests. When technology became an issue that you had to use rather than maybe you'll use, it changed the configuration of buildings. It changed the cycle that you'd be on, because whether people accept it or not, technology for districts is a capital investment. It's not capital in the sense that it lasts for 20 years, but it's such a big part, big expense, that it's never been set aside through the school aid funding that we get with the anticipation that you'd ever be able to cover your tech costs with the money that you get from the state. And so that's why since the late 80s, you've seen almost on a 7 year to 8 year cycle requests for bonds, because that's about how long technology, if you stretch it really well. Now, some districts have gone out earlier than that, and if their needs call for that, I applaud them for doing that. We've stretched ours out about every 7 to 8 years in terms of making that request. There was a period in Reese Puffer when in 94, 96, where we went 2 years, three issues 2 years in a row, but that was because we built our high school in phases. Rather than go out like most districts did and build it all in one fell swoop, we built ours in three phases. So if you take that and put it into one, we've pretty much gone about every 7 years there's been a bond request, 7 to 8 years. We're structuring this tech bond so that we do a major buy at the beginning and a major buy toward the end of this of the cycle. So we think we can make this last 7 to 8 years just like we did our last one. 7 to 8 years is a long time to use the same technology. Now, we'll upgrade that a bit over the 7 to 8 years in terms of some of the programs we run and things, but the basic hardware has got to last us about 7 years. And we think the way we're structuring the buy on this, we'll be able to make that 7 to 8 years.
So another misconception people have sometimes is that the bond money will be used for teacher salaries. That's not the case.
That's actually illegal.
Right.
So that's what people get in trouble for.
Yeah,
you can't mix bond funds with operational funds. And if you tried to do it, independent auditors that audit us every year, right down to every receipt that comes out of my office, would catch us if we tried to do that, and we would end up in huge trouble.
Right.
It's definitely not worth ever trying to do that, and it's pretty unethical. If you try to mix your bond money with your operations money, it doesn't mean that when you build something that it won't help your budget. I mean, I've talked about a couple of spots where if we build turf fields, we'll predictably return about $50,000 to $60,000 back to the budget that can be used in the classroom. Beyond opening those fields up for phys ed classes and for youth groups and things, but so there is a way that when you put some things in that you return, energy efficiency will return some money into our budget, but you can't mix bond dollars with operation. It's unethical and it's illegal. So.
Yeah. Roughly speaking, what would be the percentage, in your opinion, that the bond request is going to be going towards academics versus athletics?
Well, I'd say all of it, because literally anything that we're doing is either going to increase opportunity for students, even in the academic realm. I mean, we put the turf fields in. Our high school PE classes can't use the competition fields right now. It'll open that up to them. Our performing arts groups can't use the competition field right now during the day when they're in class when they have class. So academically at the high school, we open it up. We have the Reese Puffer Intermediate and Reese Puffer Elementary that sit by our soccer field. There's 1,200 kids in those two facilities, almost 1,300 kids. There's no reason that they wouldn't be able to, for their phys ed classes and for their health classes, that they couldn't go over and use the turf during the day for academics. So I look at this as there's not a piece in this that doesn't go to academics.
Okay. Another question we get a lot, is this a good time for the bond? Though people understand that, yeah, you know, you have needs as a district, the economic realities are painful right now. What's your opinion on that?
Well, it's that's exactly why the committee, the Facilities Review Committee, that actually put this project together, decided not to go for an increase in the millage, but to go for an extension. The actual impact of this down the road is at 2021, 2022. And so that was their rationale for saying, let's not increase our millage right now. You know, let's not increase it. Let's extend this out. We could increase it. We're at a millage rate where the Treasury Department says we've got lots of room. But it made a lot more sense, because of the way things are going for folks now, that we keep it where it is, because the impact won't be seen by them for 10 years. And at that point, you know, hopefully our economy will be back on track and we'll be a little stronger. The reality is that the needs for the district, in terms of replacing roofs and things like that, and technology, don't get dictated by the economic cycle. They get dictated by when that stuff goes out. And just like I have to maintain my home, and there's going to be a point here where I'm going to have to invest in a new roof at my house, we've got to do that collectively as a community. And because the state doesn't fund a school district with that in mind, they've always left that as a decision for local communities to decide when they're going to do it. We're going to be on that cycle. You know, will we have to come back for a bond for technology in 7 or 8 years? Absolutely. I mean, that's the cycle that districts are going to be on.
Around the community, what have you heard from people regarding the bond? Has it been a positive thing? Have you heard concerns?
Well, we just had there was a bond committee meeting last night, and the folks in the committee kind of reported around what the response has been. And we've done a lot of public presentations, and we've done a lot of coffees where people have invited folks to come in, some who are supportive and some who are not, to hear about the bond. It's been relatively positive. I mean, overall, much more positive than negative. The one issue that seems to be a difficult one for folks, if there is one, and I've been surprised at that of the response, has been the turf fields. But when people hear that in a sense, it's a luxury to have two competition fields that you only use 10 to 13 days a season, but we spend $50,000 to $60,000 to maintain, they look at it and go, yeah, that seems like the luxury. It doesn't seem to be a luxury to have turf fields that you could have opened up for a ton of use, and you decrease significantly the cost of maintenance for them. So really, that's been received rather positively by folks too when they get that information. I think people don't always realize how much money we spend to maintain the fields and how little they actually get used.
Right. What happens if the bond isn't approved? What are the steps you take as a
well in district? The in the short term, there's some things that we're going to have to do. I'll give you an example. our track won't last another season. It's probably too late for us to do something this year, but we'd get through one more season with that next year, and the cracks are so big that another winter is gonna make them. We possibly wouldn't be able to use it next year, but we might get through one more season. Then we would have to shut it down and replace that track. We're going to have to invest money in doing that, and that will come out of what's already a depleting fund equity that we really need to have for cash on hand to pay our bills when we don't get the money from the state. There's an overlap time there. So there are some things like that we're going to have to do. We'll do as much as we can, but some of the things... we might be put in the position of having to go out and borrow to put new technology in. That's a very difficult place for us to go where funding is, the way that funding is right now, it would force us to cut much, I don't know where we would cut absolutely to probably pay for something. We'd have to do something with busing or with sports in order to create the kind of revenue we'd have to be able to pay a bill like that. Right. In terms of replenishing the technology. So we'd be forced back into some very difficult choices that I think our parents and our community wouldn't want. They value that level of service, and they'd want us to continue to do that, at least to some extent. And they'd have to be curtailed back quite a bit to pay for something like that. There's some things that just have to be done. We've got a roof at the high school that's, it was originally put, one of the first roofs that was put in there when they started the construction. So it's, 16 years old. And it's over the band room, and it's got serious problems, and it's going to have to be done. It's leaking down, and it's starting to affect the infrastructure of on the walls. So if we don't do something, we're going to have a much worse long-term problem with the walls. So those things are going to have to be done. The money's going to have to come from somewhere, and it's going to have to come from cuts that people don't want us to make.
Right. You mentioned that you're going to need new technology in 7 or 8 years. If the bond is approved, how long until the school asks for another extension or a brand new bond?
If it doesn't pass?
Yeah.
We would probably, first thing we do is probably do a survey and say, okay, give us some feedback with our community. And then refashion another bond and go out. We'd have to go out again. The thing is, this bond was put together by a committee of community members, parents, staff, who looked at the needs and pared it down from about $65 million worth of stuff they identified that should be done. And we said, we can't do that much. So what's the most essential pieces that you believe really have to go forward? So it would be hard to reshape this much differently because they've already done that. I mean, this was looked at over 9 months, and they brought in experts to look at things to get opinions. And so that this facilities review committee was about 25 people in it. They did a great job of looking at this from a lot of angles and paring it down. So I don't know how much more we could actually change the proposal. We might be coming back with exactly the same one,
right?
But it would be pretty quick, because these are pretty significant needs.
As far as the bidding process goes, if it is approved, will local businesses get a chance to do some of the work?
There's a attorney's general opinion that says that agencies that are funded with public dollars have to use the low bid, as long as prevailing wages is used, unless there's a reason that you have evidence that the low bid can't be met with the specs that were put out. So the answer to that is that we've already talked to our construction manager about we want to use local labor as much as possible and local companies as much as possible. But that said, because we're publicly funded, and I think that has to do with how the legislature looked at how they wanted taxpayer dollars to be used, we have to go with the lowest bid as long as it meets the specs, and we are certain that the company can meet the specs. We've had a situation in our last bond where we had a company with a very low bid. We brought them in, we interviewed them. After the interview, we felt that they didn't have the infrastructure to meet the actual specs. They'd never done a project like it before. From their answers, we felt that they had some ahas on from themselves going, oh, well, guess we didn't think of that. And so we didn't take that low bid. And we ended up going with a company that was a little bit more local than the one that had given a low bid. But we'll do the very best we possibly can. We value particularly having Reese Puffer parents and community members working on the projects. So we've already talked to our construction manager about we want to hire locally as much as absolutely possible.
If it is approved, what's the timetable for construction? Something somebody asked, how will their child's education be interrupted by this? Will it be done in phases?
Yeah, it'll be done in phases. Very little obviously would get done this summer. We'd probably go out to sell the bonds in June, and by the time we got that done, there won't be much construction that will hit at all, if anything. More than likely, the first thing that we'll hit will be the networking issues on the technology side. The construction schedule would be laid out after we pass the bond. It will be done in phases. We'll do absolutely as much as we can in the summers. The middle school, because it's a bigger project, there will be parts of the middle school that will close down, but it won't disrupt a kid's any of our students' education, because we'll literally just have an area that they can't get into. And our regular day will go on as it goes on. We'll just shift around in the building enough to be able to make things work. But we've already looked at it, and we really think the middle school project's possible to get done over 2 summers, and we can minimize the amount of interference with kids. So.
Well, in closing, why don't you kind of encapsulate your bond proposal request and maybe just touch on some of the most important aspects.
Okay. Well, you know, we've been the board and the staff at Puffer has been. We've been really good stewards of the money that we've gotten in the past. The last bond that we did, we actually did about $2 million more than what was slated originally, because the bids came in so good that we were able to extend the work on it. Really, this is about replacing stuff that the nuts and bolts of the district. It's about increasing our safety and security. It's about upgrading our technology so we're competitive with the districts around us and our kids have the tools they need when they exit school. It's about opening up opportunity to, on our athletic fields, to a lot more people, including our students, and decreasing the cost of the maintenance. And it's about being leaving less of a carbon footprint and decreasing our costs on the utility side by putting in more energy efficient management system. Energy management systems. So I think really in a nutshell, that's what this is about.
Well, that concludes our discussion with Reese Puffer Superintendent Stephen Cousins. Thanks again for having us,
Thanks
and
for coming over.
yeah, and look forward to the May 5th results.
Yeah, thank you very much,
Thanks.
Mark.